Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is the Limitless Living Show with Chuck Anderson here as your host. And this is the show where we like to share with you stories of personal transformation, overcoming limitations to hopefully inspire you to overcome your limitations and to change your story and go in whatever direction you want to go, live the life of your dreams, live happier, more fulfilling lives, whatever it is that you want. And sometimes when we're on that journey, things get in the way and there are things that prevent us from easily getting to where we want to go. And we have to overcome some of those limitations, those obstacles. And that's what these stories are all about. I have an amazing guest for you here today because she has an amazing story to tell as well. And not only has a story of her own transformation and overcoming limitations, but is doing something amazing with it. And there's a very amazing project that we want to share with you as well. But it all starts somewhere. So I'm very happy to have with me today Blair Kaplan Venables. And so you know who she is. She's an expert in social media marketing and the president of Blair Kaplan Communications, which is a PR agency. And we're going to put all the information about her company, her business and everything, and her project down beneath this video and in the show notes so you can read all about it. But we like to focus on the stories here. So Blair, first of all, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Chuck. And I love that you've created this space.
Thank you. And, I when we first met, I realized I have to have you on this show. Like, you are just in so many ways exactly why I started this show, because your story is very inspirational. But then what you're doing in the world is also very inspirational, your passion project, which we will definitely talk about. But first and foremost, I'm going to start with the first question. It's what I ask everybody is, what's your story?
Well, hold on to your hats. just want to start with a trigger warning. I'm going to be talking about some pretty heavy stuff. I'm not a professional therapist, but I'm a professional human who has gone through some really hard things. So if you feel triggered, pause this, walk away. If you're ready to rewatch it or fast forward the hard stuff, that's okay. And if you're looking for resources in your community, feel free to reach out to me. My contact info is in the show notes, and I will help to connect you to a professional that can help you. So my story. Well, I'm the daughter of a man who lived with addiction. And when I was seven, my father, who was a diamond dealer and a gemologist, had to sell his business. And he left our family, divorced my mom, because his addiction was too bad. He couldn't be around us. And he was in and out of my life. And so, as you can imagine, having my father around until age seven, very close with him, to him being in and out of my life, I thought my dad stopped loving me. I had a lot of anger, hate. I developed depression, anxiety. And no one ever sat with me and explained what was going on. I didn't know he was unwell. I didn't understand addiction. No one even used that term. It wasn't till I was older that I knew this. But I obviously, this was very traumatic, and I carried a lot of anger with me into my adulthood. But when I was in my early 20s, I was given the gift to go to the Landmark Forum, which is like a personal development forum. I went because it was a free trip to Vancouver, and I was living in Edmonton at the time. But really there, during those few days, I was given the tools I needed to forgive my dad. And I remember having the most beautiful conversation with my dad. I was crying in the middle of a grocery store. It was ridiculous. And I don't know why I wasn't on my cell phone. I'm trying to piece it together because it's kind of like I blacked out. But my dad and I had this beautiful conversation that continued at my hotel into the night. And I decided to just accept him for who he was. And if that meant texting me once a week or once a month, fine. And I wanted to let go of all that anger and sadness. And we developed a very beautiful relationship. We talked almost every day. He came to visit me. He lived across the country, and I eventually moved to Vancouver, and he would come visit me a few times a year. And I got my dad back in my life, and I got to develop the relationship that was meant to be. I never thought he'd walk me down the aisle at my wedding, and he did, which I'm super grateful for. But at the end of 2018, we learned he was terminally ill. He had COPD and lung cancer, 40 plus years of addiction to, you know, cocaine, crack, things that you inject into your veins, like severe addiction, like will not make you healthier. Let me tell you that. And I felt like my world was shattered all over again. I finally had my dad back in my life, and he was being taken away from me. And I didn't really know what to do with this information. I felt like very ungrounded and unrooted. And I started sharing my story, like verbal diarrhea, to anyone who would listen, friends over coffee, colleagues. And what was happening was people were being inspired. Blair, your story inspired me to get a therapist to fix things with my mom. Hey, you know what? I'm going to fly across Canada and fix things with my dad before they die. And I was like, wow, like our story is helping people. Our story is turning pain into purpose. Dad, why don't we gather stories of resilience from around the world and we publish a book? And we'll bookend the book with your story at the beginning and my story at the end. And it'll be a legacy piece. So when you're no longer here, our story could still help people. And so the Global Resilience Project was born in March of 2019, almost 4 years ago. But since that started, I've suffered a lot of trauma. And I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of the high level, and it's not going to be everything. It's a very intricate story. But not only did I learn my father was going to die, but my husband had a heart attack and quadruple bypass surgery. My husband almost died. He's fine now. He's healthy. Thank God. We struggled with fertility, and I magically ended up getting pregnant after being told we would probably not be able to get pregnant naturally. Unfortunately, we miscarried. 3 weeks later, my father-in-law suddenly died from cancer after a three-week battle. 3 months later, my mother suddenly died from a three-week battle with cancer. And then within the same year, a few days before the first anniversary of my mom passing, my dad passed away. So we lost three parents and a baby just in about a year. Oh, and my grandfather died right before Shane's heart attack. So like I've had a lot of loss, a lot of trauma over the last 4 years. I've done a lot of learning and growth, chosen sobriety, and I've really learned what resilience is and how to be resilient. I should probably take a break.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's a great segue, Blair, into, you know, what were some of the takeaways? Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, One reason we ask to share stories, I mean, as human beings, we love a good story. Mm-hmm. Not that we relish in other people's pain, but I think because we can relate to it. And I know I certainly can, not in the exact things that have happened to you, but it reminds me of the trauma that I've experienced in my life. And mm-hmm. and I love that you did the trigger warning at the beginning, because some people are not there yet where they're okay with their trauma. Mm-hmm. And they're still going through it. And if that's the case, I just want to reiterate, you know, there are resources available, and do check beneath this video and in the show notes, because we've listed them there. And Blair's a great resource, and there's all sorts of great resources that you don't have to be alone with. And, you know, so, but I think for me, I have found comfort in sharing my story now. Like, it does help, and I knowing that it helps others. So two follow-up questions, Blair. One is, you know, how does it feel to share that? And also, what were some of the key takeaways to this healing journey that you've been on?
Right. So while going through all of this, I was collecting stories of resilience, and it was really empowering to read people's stories of what they went through and how they got through it and how they were resilient. And I've done a lot of research, you know, when you're in the depths of despair, you know, at your rock bottom and you want to feel better, it's like you'll do anything, you'll grasp at anything. And I actually learned a few scientific ways to be more resilient. And these are things I practice almost every day, so that when things get hard, I'm able to move through the challenge faster. So I think there are things that you can do every day, or as much as you can, so that when life gets hard, because it will, like, people die. Your parents, mm-hmm. if they're still alive, they might die before you do. Like, sorry to be the blare of bad news, but like, it's gonna happen. And, you know, that's just one small sliver of badness that will come. So why not do what you can now to strengthen your resilience muscle, which is this muscle that we all have that runs through every fiber of our being. So I like to talk about the five ways to strengthen your resilience muscle. And there's many other ways, but there's five things that I do that have really helped.
Well, I think good opportunity to share those. Now, now you've come up with five or narrowed it to five. Like, and as a fellow speaker, I kind of know how it goes. It's like, there's all these things, but let's, you know, give it in a way that people can really understand. It was at this journey that really helped you. Like, what was the origin of the five? And then please do share what the five are.
Yeah. Like in 2016, long before I knew my life would get flipped, turned upside down, I almost just started rapping Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. It sounded like it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was like, whoa, it's coming out as a rap. I went to a wellness retreat, and part of going to this wellness retreat was we got a bunch of videos and readings to do before. And I watched a video from Sean Acor. And Sean Acor says, if you practice gratitude every day at the exact same time, and you list three things that you're grateful for from the past 24 hours, and you do this for at least 21 days, the neural pathways in your brain change to see the world in a more positive way. And when I saw that, I was like, it was a TED talk. I was like, well, that seems easy. So I whipped out my phone and I set my gratitude alarm. I called it a gratitude alarm. He did not say to do this, but I was like, oh, I'm going to set my alarm for 9 p.m. because I go to bed early and like, this is a perfect way to end the day and I'm going to try it. Like, what's the harm in that? I've been doing it ever since. That to me is one of the most crucial things I tell people to do. Practice daily gratitude. I did it like the day before my mom went to sleep for her final time. Me, my mom and sister did it. The day my dad passed away, me and my family stood around, you know, when we got back to my aunt's house and we did it. When my husband was in the hospital for 3 weeks, 2 weeks before the surgery and after the surgery, we did it with his roommate. Every single day we practice gratitude. And that to me, you know, I didn't know I was preparing I didn't know I was preparing to be in a grief vortex. I didn't know. But I can tell you that one thing is the first thing I always talk about with a way to strengthen your resilience muscle, because it was so impactful. It still is so impactful. And then some of the things I just learned along the way, and some of the things I was just doing anyways, and I've always done, but I just increased it. Because I would Google like how to be more resilient, how to make the grief pain stop. When does grief end? Like I was literally just looking for like, how do I navigate all of this stuff?
So just out of your own necessity, you're Googling it and, you know, just like anything you see on Google, some stuff helpful, some stuff not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And, like, and you have to weed through all of that.
Yeah. And I want to be like, really like I'm not a scientist, but now I've been gathering stories for 4 years. Because we have a podcast and we're writing our second book and we have the first book. I'm starting to actually collect a lot of data about resilience, which is really fascinating. And I'm looking forward to compiling it and analyzing it. But, you know, I chose sobriety. My dad lived with addiction and I was going down a similar path, and it was scary to me. And I realized I couldn't navigate my dad's end of life with alcohol in my world. Alcohol was a bridge to bad decisions. And so January 1st, 2019 was my first day of sobriety. In fact, I actually woke up to an apology letter from my dad. And it was just so profound. Like, I haven't had a drink since. It's over 4 years I've been sober. And I didn't know if it was going to continue past my dad passing away or not. But because I chose sobriety, I got to know who I really am. And I'm still learning, because substances numb you and they keep you from healing. Like, if you're going through something hard, like harm reduction, like reduce your alcohol intake or completely cut it out. Like, if I didn't choose sobriety, I'd probably be in full-blown addiction right now. And I wouldn't be where I am today, because I've done so much healing work. And so a lot of what you do, like what you choose to keep in your life and what you choose to remove from your life when life is hard or when life is easy, is going to set you up for success or failure. You choose.
You know, words well said, and I can relate directly to the sobriety thing because it's been like a year for me. I just chose it because I chose it. I had no real reason. I don't have a painful story around alcohol. I just like being in control of my thoughts, my feelings, emotions, and the clarity that comes from that. But that's my story, not your story. But I just wanted to, I get it. And just for, I wanted to say it for this reason too. Anyone listening in going, oh, that's crazy. I can't give up alcohol. Like, really, can't you? Like, try it. Try it and see what happens.
Well, and if you can't give up alcohol, that's an indication that you might need support.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I think the alcohol is just a small sliver of like wine culture. Well, you know, mummy wine culture, drinking, it's also normalized and like it makes the government a lot of money and whatever. Anyways, I stopped because it was self-destructive. And congratulations on cutting it out. And for me, it was a lot easier than other people. And for some other people, it's easier than it was for me. And there's no wrong way to do it. And even if you don't choose full sobriety, maybe it's just reducing your intake. Maybe it's just on the weekends, or instead of having a couple glasses of wine at dinner, you start by reducing it to just one or only a few times a week. But I'm not an expert coach in sobriety. I'm just a human who's gone through it. And also because I've gone through it and I'm very public about that, I'm public about my miscarriage, I'm public about my grief, I'm normalizing these conversations, people reach out to me and ask for advice.
Mm-hmm. So. Because they are at home. And this is one of the reasons why I do this podcast as well. They are at home. Suffering is not the right word, but struggling, going through living their experience, like living with. Yes, exactly. Alone, and they can feel alone. And I think that it is for me, certainly when I hear a story that relates to my own, I lean in. I want to learn more. I'm like, what did that person learn from their experience? And and I it's a byproduct of doing this show. I get to learn. I get to learn all your amazing life lessons on top of all the ones that I continue to learn. I'm a lifelong learner. And if we can inspire just one person to do something different, it could be sobriety, it could be something else.
Why don't I give you a couple other of the tips?
That'd be great.
And I know we don't have endless amounts of time, so it's going to be very high level. So just trust me that there's science behind it. So besides practicing gratitude, where I invite you to actually set an alarm in your phone right now and start doing that for 21 days. And you know, if you don't see a difference in your perspective of life, like, let me know. And we actually just talked about another one, which was like cutting out alcohol. But the high level secret is, how do you fuel your body and your mind? What do you need to add? What do you need to remove from your life? What you consume with, you know, visually, you know, news, TV shows, reality shows, drama, like, what do you listen to? Is it heavy metal? Is it peaceful meditation music? And what do you put in your body to fuel your body? That's important. That's part of resilience. Another secret is spending time outside, forest bathing, get outside. If you can't get outside, fill your room with plants, open the window. You need to be outside. Doesn't matter how long you do it, but it's part of resilience. There's science behind it. And sleep. Don't compromise sleep. You need sleep. What lack of sleep triggers anxiety and stress, and anxiety and stress trigger lack of sleep. What can you do to get more sleep? And then what we've been talking about, what we're doing here, sharing stories. You know, and you don't have to come on a podcast or be in a book, but like, maybe you want to explore talking to a therapist or a counselor, or maybe you're not ready for that. Maybe you just get a journal and you start waking up every day and writing down your feelings. You can't keep everything inside of you. You have to share your story, because that's how you process it and navigate it. And it is scary to admit that things might not be right. And it's really hard. Like, healing is messy. It is very messy. It involved a lot of, I'm going to be a lifelong healer from a lot of trauma. I mean, I'm almost 38 years of trauma, you know, for me, but don't keep your story inside. And if, you know, you're like, don't feel like writing or getting a counselor or sharing your story on a podcast or in a book, just say it out loud. Look at yourself in the mirror and talk it out. Get it out of you. Because sharing your story is part of how you become more resilient. It is how you strengthen your resilience muscle.
Amazing tips. Like you said, very high level, but also extremely impactful mm-hmm. for anyone who gets it and you're looking for something different. I highly recommend you try one or all of those things. If you want a different result, do something differently in your life and you'll get one. Right. And it doesn't have to always have to be this big thing. Like, you know, the gratitude alarm. I've done something similar to that. It is very impactful. Just that practice of being grateful can change that a lot in your life. It does not have to be the big things, but they can lead to big results. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Look, before we run out of time, Blair, I want to make sure we really talk about the Global Resilience Project, because now this is, you know, from where you are and you've extracted these lessons, but now something even more amazing and where we can all learn from other people's stories. So tell us a little bit more about the Global Resilience Project.
Right. So the first book took a little bit of time to get out because people kept dying. And it was a little challenging to write a book about resilience while having to be resilient. But we published our first book in June of 2022, became an international best-selling book. And we have just opened applications for book number two. So the Global Resilience Project has multiple ways we share stories. We share stories through our podcast, which is Radical Resilience, on our website, which is theglobalresilienceproject.com, and our social media, which you can find the links on our website. I speak on stages around the world. In fact, my story is going to be featured on a new Amazon Prime TV show and in our published books, which is how it started. And so our second book, applications are now open. There are limited spots available, and the book will be out. The goal is to have it out in November of 2023. And because I'm going to be on Amazon Prime and I'm going to have a global reach, the book is going to get a lot of recognition. And so I want to invite you to share a story. If you have a story of how you overcame a challenge and you want to help other people going through something similar, we want to invite you into our community. We want to invite you to share a story with our book.
Amazing. Well, we definitely want to help to support you with that. And it aligns so well with this show, because that you just described every single guest that I've ever had on the show. And so now I get to go back and say, hey, connect with Blair. Blair's amazing. And you definitely want to get your story into this book. But to our listeners as well, two invitations I want to give to you right now. One is go check out the Global Resilience Project. The links to it are beneath this video, or if you're listening to on a podcast, the links are in the show notes. Go check that out. And if you have questions about it, reach out to Blair, reach out to me. We want to help to support this project. I think that this is a world change, you know, life changing, possibly humanity changing type of project, because the more we can learn from each other's stories and inspire new action, this is how we get change done. So we support the project. You're going to find all the information here just beneath this. And to all of my listeners, if you've not been a guest on this show, reach out to me. I'd love to hear your story. Reach out to Blair. She wants to hear your story. We both do, because Blair, I think this is why we connected so well instantly, is because we're on parallel paths here. Let's support the work, because this is how we make the world a better place. So this is amazing. Blair, thank you for sharing this. If you were to leave our audience with just one final piece of advice or words of wisdom, what would you say to them?
You know, it is completely okay to not be okay. You don't need to pretend you're okay when you're not. You're going to get through the hard times because you are resilient.
Amazing. Those are great words to end this episode by. You are amazing. Blair, you're amazing. Our listeners are amazing. And, you know, please let this mean something. Like, choose one thing you can do differently. Or choose one resource that you're going to reach out to, because that's the support that you need. Whatever it is, take one action today towards the life that you want and watch the amazing changes that unfold in front of you. So to all of our amazing listeners, thank you. To Blair, thank you. This has been the Limitless Living Show with Chuck Anderson, and we'll see you on the next one, everyone.